Good mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, June is Elder Abuse Awareness Month, which can take many forms, but usually involves their finances. We'll talk about how to spot the signs and help protect your friends, neighbors, and loved ones. Also this morning, happening around town, keeping kids safe this summer, we have details on this year's bicycle rodeo from the Findlay Police Department. And we'll get an update on what's going on during the month of June at the Findlay YMCA. Jerry McNamee will tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025. Apparently, this is big news in New York City. This is a big story in the Big Apple. There have been fewer rat sightings so far this year. I guess if you live in New York, that is a big deal. Mayor Eric Adams' administration is pointing to data showing that trash containerization is working. That is the big story. Acting Sanitation Commissioner Javier Lohan says that since residential container requirements first went into effect 6 months ago, the number of reported rat sightings has dropped. Imagine that! They have finally discovered in New York City, and it only took them how many hundreds of years in New York City to discover that if you keep your trash in trash bins that the rats can't get into, you'll have fewer rats. I know, it's mind blown. Apparently they've just figured this out. Just in the past 6 months, it's been required to put your trash in containers instead of just tossing it out on the curb. The Department of Sanitation just finished installing trash bins across West Harlem, where sanitation crews have started using automated garbage side-loading trucks. You know, the kind that we see every day here in the rest of the world. The plan is to expand to other parts of the city, and apparently this is big news. New York City, they've just now figured this out. If you keep the trash away from the vermin, you'll have less vermin. Boy, my mind is absolutely blown. Let's see. What else is going on? Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Every day, there has to be a doom and gloom item. You know, something that we're worried about, fearful of, wringing our hands over, something we're concerned with. And here is today's doom and gloom item. Astronomers reported yesterday that the probability of our Milky Way galaxy and the Andromeda galaxy colliding is less than previously thought, but still a 50-50 chance within the next 10 billion years. So there is some good news here. It's not all doom and gloom. The possibility of the Milky Way and Andromeda galaxies colliding is less than previously thought, but it is still a 50-50 chance within the next 10 billion years. That is essentially a coin flip, but better odds than previous estimates and farther out in time. This is a study out of Finland. Team in Finland writes, as it stands, proclamations of the impending demise of our galaxy seem exaggerated. Writing in the journal Nature Astronomy, while it is good news for the Milky Way galaxy, the latest forecast may be a moot point for humanity, because they go on to say that we likely won't see much benefit. The sun is on course to run out of energy and die in another 5 billion years or so, but not before becoming so big that it will engulf Mercury, Venus, and possibly even Earth. That's right, the sun is going to get so big that it is either going to swallow up the planet, and even if it doesn't swallow our planet, Earth will be left just a burnt ball with its oceans long since boiled away. Well, isn't that cheery? Isn't that just a wonderful story to start with this morning? The report relies on the latest observations by NASA's Hubble Space Telescope. Knew we shouldn't have launched that thing. Nothing good can come from that. No, latest observations by the Hubble Space Telescope and the European Space Agency's Star Surveying spacecraft to simulate the possible scenarios facing the Milky Way and our next-door neighbor Andromeda. Both already collided with other galaxies in their ancient past, apparently, and according to many, the two galaxies seem destined for a head-on crash. Past theories put a collision between the two as probable, if not inevitable, and happening within 5 billion years or sooner. Now, they say it's a 50-50 chance, and it'll be somewhere closer to 10 billion years if the sun doesn't swallow us up first. So, I guess you can put a positive spin on that, but that is our doom and gloom story. The planet literally is going to disappear, be swallowed up by the sun sometime in the next 5 to 10 billion years. We are all doomed! We're all going to die. But it won't be for a while. So I guess we can enjoy the 90-degree day today. Hey, summer's here. If that doesn't do it for you, this definitely is a doom and gloom story. And this is not theoretical. It's not 10 billion years into the future. This is happening right now. Right now, people! Global inventory levels of black peppercorn are decreasing, leading to a potential scarcity of black pepper in kitchens worldwide. I know, this is doom and gloom story. And no pepper. According to Majestic Spice, the Majestic Spice Company, demand for black pepper remains steady, but unpredictable weather patterns in key harvesting regions like India, Vietnam, and Sri Lanka are disrupting supply change. Climate change. There you go. We knew it was going to blame it on climate change. They say it is also affecting the taste of peppercorns, not just the availability, but the taste of peppercorns, making some harvests unusable. Trade issues, of course, further discouraging investment in black pepper production, with only 4 countries producing 80% of the world's pepper supply. I did not know that 4 countries produce 80% of the world's pepper supply. But there you go. Consumers, long and short of it is, consumers, you and I, can expect price increases, especially in stores selling generic spices. All Recipes recommends picking up or stocking up on whole peppercorns and exploring alternative spices to brighten your dishes in case pepper is not available. Now that is doom and gloom. Never mind Earth getting fried by an ever-growing sun and the Milky Way galaxy colliding with Andromeda. No. We're out of pepper, people. We're serious stuff. And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Apparently, a woman has gone viral online with her story on a recent long-haul flight. 14-hour flight. I don't know where they were flying from or to, but I do know this happened on a 14-hour flight. So keep that in mind. This is not a quick jaunt to Chicago or Florida or something like that. This is a long-haul flight. So this is kind of a what-would-you-do scenario. Woman shared her experience on this flight when her boyfriend and his friend, she's boarding a flight. Okay, she and her boyfriend and a group of his friends going together to take a vacation. I don't know to where. So they board the flight, and the group is upgraded to business class. But not everyone in the group. There is only enough room in business class for all but one of the party to get an upgrade. And her boyfriend and his friends took the upgrade and left her alone in economy. Not only that, not only did her boyfriend decline the upgrade, none of his buddies would swap with her to stay in economy while she accompanied her boyfriend, could sit with her boyfriend in business class. No, they went up and left her in economy. Despite expressing her discomfort at flying alone on a 14-hour flight, he did not offer to stay with her, and none of his buddies would give up their upgrade either. So, she spent the entire 14-hour flight reflecting on feeling abandoned and upset by her partner's decision. In other words, she was fuming. For 14 hours in a plane, she was fuming. And when they got off the plane, she confronted him about the incident. It says here, leading to a disagreement about her reaction. What would you do? What I can't even imagine abandoning my partner on a flight if I get an upgrade, but she doesn't. There's no way that I would do that and leave her sitting there. I mean, would you want your girlfriend, your wife, your spouse, whatever, to be sitting there for 14 hours on a plane fuming? I don't know the relationship status of this couple currently, but I'm guessing that this relationship is maybe in a rocky place right now. 14-hour flight! I mean, it's one thing. It would be one thing if it were a quick flight to Chicago or even to Florida, which is, what, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, something like that. No big deal, right? I think I could deal with that. And I would probably tell my significant other, hey, take the upgrade. I'm fine back here. You know, not a big deal. But a 14-hour flight? No. No. Just no. Don't do that. What would you do, though? There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly to mostly sunny today with a high in the middle 80s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 70. The Ohio Department of Commerce has issued a new scam warning.
This one is for those who have taken out loans through the Paycheck Protection Program. The ODC's Division of Financial Institutions says it's receiving reports of scammers contacting Ohio bank customers and impersonating bank personnel to try to gain access to financial accounts. The scammers pose as legitimate banks by altering their phone numbers so the caller ID shows a bank's real phone number. Anyone who thinks they've been targeted or fell for this scam should call their bank immediately.
WTOL 11, Sophia Pericone reporting. Flag City Honor Flight is conducting its second of four missions of 2025 today. Dozens of area veterans are being flown to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials that stand in their honor. Honor Flight President Steve Schultz says the trips are entirely free for the veterans.
Fortunately, we had a lot of very nice and generous contributions from individuals and corporations that's going to allow us to get veterans off to Washington, D.C.
Steve says Flag City Honor Flight remains deeply grateful to their community partners, volunteers, and donors who make the flights possible. He says they're currently on a wait list and priority is given to terminally ill veterans, followed by others in the order their applications are received. Get more information about Flag City Honor Flight, including details about applying to go on a flight or volunteering to help out on one, in the story on our website. There are a variety of lane and road closures throughout the city of Findlay due to new and ongoing road construction projects. Among the projects, Broad Avenue is reduced to one lane in either direction from West Trenton Avenue to West Melrose Avenue for resurfacing. And West Melrose Avenue is closed to through traffic from North Main Street to Broad Avenue for resurfacing. See the full list of projects in the weekly road construction update provided by the City of Findlay in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, now our cover story this morning. June is Elder Abuse Awareness Month, and this is a problem that can take many forms. Joining us this morning to talk about some of them, how to spot the signs, how to help protect your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones, is Better Business Bureau President CEO Lane Montz. And Lane, one of the first things that comes to mind, obviously, are those who try to take advantage of older people financially, and there are certainly numerous scams out there that are targeting seniors.
Well, that's certainly true, Chris. By the way, thanks for having me on the program this morning. So, yeah, there are Elder abuse takes a number of different forms. There's physical abuse. There's caretaker abuse, of course. And June is Elder Abuse Month. I believe June 15th is Worldwide Elder Abuse Day.
Right.
But the Better Business Bureau is mostly concerned, of course, with financial scams and schemes that can take advantage of seniors.
Now, there are one-time scams, kind of like the smash-and-grab robbery, where the criminals get what they can and get out as quickly as they can. And then you have the kind of fraud that is ongoing, more akin to like an embezzlement scheme where the criminal keeps draining the victim until all of the money is gone. Obviously, the more common are those quick hits. But talk a little bit about some of the different forms that this can take.
So first of all, you are correct. However, a quick hit scam artist that is successful in bilking an elderly person out of their money or their confidential identity information is probably going to come back again. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure there are really any one-offs anymore. They're going to take note and try to go back to that same fishing hole if it was productive before. But of course, some of the most common scams, and they are there are as many of them as the imagination can create. But some common ones that we hear are grandson or grandchildren imposter scams that occur by phone, and those are going to get more and more sophisticated with AI, where right. they're going to be able to replicate voices. That is certainly one. Romance scams are, unfortunately, are pretty successful against the elderly, and disclosing personal confidential information, even if they're not getting money at the particular moment, they're getting information that's going to put that elderly person on a top 10 list for scam artists, and it's going to be sold or used in the future. Those are some of the most common.
And are there signs that might clue you in to a loved one being who has been or is in the throes of being swindled financially?
So it's a little bit tough because if they suspect that they have been swindled, they don't like to tell family members about it.
Yeah.
They're afraid it will lead to a chain reaction that they'll lose their independence. Mm-hmm. But, you know, certainly there are some red flags. If you're a family member or a friend of an older person and they start mentioning things like they met somebody online or, you know, they called and they were so glad they were able to take care of an IRS problem over the phone or a grandchild problem over the phone, or if somebody's asked them for gift cards, all of those kinds of things can come up, can become warning signs in a conversation. I would say, though, if you're a family member or close friend, a neighbor, you might not want to just wait for the older person to perhaps organically mention it in a conversation. You might from time to time just ask or bring it up like, hey, I heard in the news these kinds of things are going around and see what kind of a response you get. I'm not sure that waiting for that to be disclosed. My predecessor, Dick Epstein, who was here at the BBB for 50 years, he told a lot of stories about people that once they were on the hook, psychologically, they could not let go and they just kept feeding the scammer more money and more information. So
yeah.
Sometimes they don't really realize it, Chris.
Yeah. If you do discover that a family member or a friend is being taken, what do you do then? I mean, what's the next step? Who do you report that to? What kind of action should we be taking?
Well, I don't know that one size fits all on that. So first, it depends on whether you think they would be receptive to a conversation about the situation. Mm-hmm. If you're close and they're somewhat of an open-minded person, you can raise it and say, hey, I wonder if this is a problem. Do you think that this could be completely on the up and up? Is it possible that you're being scammed? Take that temperature, see how they react. Have them call the BBB, or you can call the BBB at 419-578-6000 and ask for our Public Affairs and Consumer Affairs Department. And if you are certain that it happened, if they say, I think I got scammed, and they tell you that they bought $2,000 of gift cards and gave the numbers away, that's a scam, then you got to ask them whether, you can go to the police. I don't know if I would. I think I would say the last resort would be go to the police without the other person's consent, because it can be considered intrusive. Then again, you might be saving them a lot of heartache down the road.
Yeah. As we mentioned, this is just one form of elder abuse. Pretty common one, but not the only one. I saw a statistic that I thought was interesting. As of 2020, about one in six Americans is over the age of 65, which means the senior care industry is a huge market. And like any business sector, it can certainly attract those who are looking to make a quick buck at the expense of providing a quality service. And it's not like we're talking about someone who isn't qualified to repair your car. These are people's lives that we're talking about here. So you really have to make sure that those individuals that are being hired to take care of loved ones are actually qualified and able to, you know, fulfill those promises.
Fortunately, in Ohio and Michigan, that industry is pretty heavily regulated. They have to have licenses. So you can certainly check with the state authorities. A lot of times your local boards of developmental disability, mental retardation, and other county-based area offices on aging, they have good information that can help people investigate. But it is a pretty heavily regulated industry. If somebody's trying to provide that kind of care without the necessary licenses, I would definitely be concerned about that.
Yeah. So definitely ask the appropriate questions in those situations. And that's to say nothing of the businesses like home repair that may charge exorbitant rates and or do shoddy work. And again, these are things that, you know, are common across all ages. But when you're talking about seniors who quite often are on a limited income to begin with, they become even more important to watch out for.
They're more impacted. Everybody can be affected by bad contractors. That is not just the elderly population, but the elderly population is maybe a little more, I don't want to say susceptible necessarily, because all parts of the population can fall prey.
Yeah.
But they aren't really always up to speed on the latest technological evolution, so they don't really understand what AI can do. None of us really do, but they don't understand that there will come a time in the very near future where it might be possible for AI to replicate their son or their daughter's voice or their grandchildren's voices. If those recordings are available online or on Facebook videos, AI will be able to replicate that pretty convincingly within the next probably 2 years. And they're just going to have to learn that there are some universal tips to avoid, regardless of AI. There are some ways to stop a scam in its tracks.
The bottom line is a healthy dose of skepticism is always a good thing. Again, whether we're dealing with somebody on the phone or online or even in person, farming out some kind of service or hiring a business or, you know, home health care aide or whatever it might happen to be, you definitely just have to be cognizant of the fact that we have to do our due diligence here.
Oh, it's a good idea for families to develop safe words so that if they get a call or an email from someone purporting to be within the family and they're asking for money or they're asking for credit card numbers, if they don't know the safe word, then you right away have probably spotted the scam, right? And that's a great tip for grandparents to have with their grandchildren or their sons and daughters. Have a safe word. If you call for help, I need that safe word. Otherwise, don't do anything until you independently call that family member or other family members in the know and say, hey, is Johnny or Julie, are they really on spring break this week? Are they really down in Florida? And many times the answer is no. The answer is no.
Again, Lane Montz is president, CEO of the Better Business Bureau here locally. And you've got more information on spotting these scams. And as we mentioned, researching businesses of all types, just really good information for folks to know. Where do folks find you?
Well, bbb.org/Toledo will get you to the homepage for our BBB, which covers 24 counties in Ohio and Michigan, the general bbb.org webpage. But if you just type in elder scams or elder abuse scams, BBB, Google will get you to the right location. And of course, again, you can always call us, 419-578-6000. We love to help out the public. We love to help them out.
Again, June is Elder Abuse Awareness Month. Lane, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for WFIN. Appreciate it.
kids are out of school and enjoying their summer vacation, we want to make sure that we keep them safe. Happening around town this weekend is the 10th annual bicycle rodeo from the Findlay Police Department. Bikes, books, and badges. And Brian White is with us once again, Findlay Police Department crime prevention officer. 10th annual.
So yeah, it's hard to believe. So 10 years we've been doing this.
Almost like a whole generation of kids.
Really, it has been. And luckily, after doing it for so long, it's kind of a well-oiled machine at this point that we. Yeah. Always a hiccup here and there, but we enjoy doing it.
It'll be a lot of fun. It is happening on Saturday at, once again, at the Marathon Center at the parking lot there.
That's correct. Thankfully, the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts, they help us out every year with a great location. It's downtown. Mm-hmm. It's very close to where the bike trails are. It's a nice location to have our event.
Yeah, and of course, there's plenty of room to spread out and do all of the things that that you need to do. So give us all of the details on this.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, a lot of space for all these different activities. We have several different stations that we do every year. One is the licensing station, and that's where we give away free bicycle licenses. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that we still have these.
Yeah.
But
and are they, they're not required,
correct.
Right? So what's the benefit of licensing?
Sure. It used to be something that actually was required long ago that requirement was done away with, but it's a $1 sticker that basically we put on your bike. Again, at this event, that fee is waived. But it is a way that we can identify the bicycle, right? So mm-hmm. if a bicycle is lost or stolen and an officer goes out and they find this bicycle, unless the person knows their serial number and has registered it, there's no real way to get it back to the rightful owner.
Okay.
Now it's entered into our system. It'll flag in our computer. Oh, we know whose bike this is. Yeah. We can get it back.
And especially the price of some of the bicycles these days.
They can be pricey.
Yeah,
hundreds of dollars, yeah. If not thousands, for some of these road bicycles out there.
So that is the first station. Then what else?
Yep. So then we have a helmet station where hopefully kiddos have a helmet that fits them and is good to use. However, many don't. And this is a station where they can get one that's fitted. Free of charge, and that's really one of the big purposes of our event.
Yeah, and if a child has a helmet, obviously you want to bring it because they're going to be on their bikes and so on. You want to check
absolutely
make sure it fits.
And Hancock Public Health, they help us out with that. Mm-hmm. They have technicians that kind of measure up the helmets
and one of the things with respect to bike helmets, they're kind of like child car seats and things. If there has been an incident or an accident where the helmet has done its job, correct. They need to be replaced.
Yeah, if the helmet's cracked or damaged or even expired, right, they do have little stickers on them to tell them how long they're good for.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good time to replace the helmet.
Wonder how many people realize that they have expiration dates.
It's
definitely
something to check.
That's one of the things that you want to check for.
Absolutely.
One of the reasons why that's important. So that's the next thing. Then what else?
Yep. Then we move on to our tune-up station where we have several, we'll say, bike mechanics that are there to make sure the bicycles are in good operating form. If they're not, they'll do some minor tweaks and changes. If it's something where the bicycle needs a lot of work, mm-hmm. We have a couple of discounted shops that they can go to get repaired at a later date.
Very good.
But we also have loaner bicycles that they can use in the meantime.
Terrific.
Should that be needed.
Yeah.
Then we have a child ID station, and that's kind of the classic. If my child is ever lost or missing, I need information to provide to law enforcement. And we provide little ID packets for them to give out.
So you can go through and fill those out and have that at the ready.
Yeah, and likewise, stickers for the helmets that they can put inside the helmet for if a child is injured in a crash. We now have emergency contact information.
Very good.
To be able to identify the child as well as the parents.
Very good. And then what else is going on?
Yeah, so we also have a couple decorating stations, one for the helmet, one for the bicycle.
Okay.
We all know that kids love to tweak their rides. So,
sure.
This is a way that they can do that. It also improves helmet usage, right, when we're proud of our helmet and the design that we put onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So things like paint for the helmets, stickers, reflectors, a bunch of little things
Very
like that.
Very cool. Very cool.
Then we have a obstacle course that is the Boy Scouts of America. They help us out with, or I should say just Scouts of America. They help us out with. And this is a chance for the kids to practice some of these skills they have. And based on how well they do, they can actually win prizes at the end and awards.
All right.
Once they are done with that, then we move on to our actual road course where we put them out on the road with some experienced bicyclists. And they get to kind of talk about all the different hazards that one might encounter on a bike ride and how to manage these.
Mm-hmm. Now, such as, give us some examples.
Yeah, so railroad tracks, for instance, going across railroad tracks. We usually don't think of hopping off our bike and walking across the railroad tracks on the possibility a tire can maybe get wedged in the ties, right? Yeah. That's kind of the idea behind that. Probably a bigger issue would be things like loose stone, gravel, and sewer grates.
Right? Okay.
Riding too close to a sewer grate where the tire goes inside. Things like that nature. Cars backing out of driveways, managing stop signs.
Just reminding kids about all of those things that could cause issues.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that once a bicycle is on the road, which, again, the safest place for kiddos is on the sidewalk, but there are some cases where that's just not practical.
Yeah.
And if a bicycle is in the roadway, they are now a motor vehicle and have to follow those same laws, for instance, ride on the right side of the road.
So that's a part of that session as well.
All that is included,
Okay, and then what else do we have going on?
Yeah, now if we do have some smaller kids that maybe just the road is not applicable to them because we're going to keep them on the sidewalk because they're so small, we have our Camp 911 mat where it's a simulated road course with stop signs, stop lights, all that stuff.
Okay.
Where they can get out and practice some of those skills without actually being out on the road.
That'll be fun.
Now, aside from that, we have several different agencies that are providing some activities for kids. Findlay Recreation Department, Y on the Fly, they'll be there with some activities. The Bookmobile will be there.
Okay.
Helping kids get signed up for the library.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have several emergency vehicles for kids to check out. Kids always love doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Grown-ups love that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, get in, turn on the lights, kick on the siren, right?
That's fun.
We also have entertainment consisting of a DJ playing tunes for us while we're going about our event, a light breakfast, donuts, coffee, of course.
I was going to mention this is something where the parents have to attend with the kids.
Yes.
But you have donuts, so mom and dad, you're fine.
Yeah, but all covered. Just a light breakfast, fruit, things of that nature, milk juice. You know, all those small things that people can enjoy while they're waiting.
And so this is 9 to 11 this Saturday.
That's right? Correct. 9 to 11 this Saturday. We do have a rain date the following week. However, the weather looks pretty good for this
weekend. We'll cross our fingers. Yep. And do we need folks to register in advance?
So if you register in advance, it kind of gets you to skip the line, right? Because everyone's pre-registered.
Speeds
we just go
up.
On, check off the name. However, if someone doesn't do that, they can just show up the day of and register then. But if they need help registering, just go to our social media pages. The links are on there, and they can do it that way.
Okay. And we have a link to that information at our webpage, too, at goodmornings.net. The 10th Annual Bicycle Rodeo happening this Saturday at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts from 9 to 11. A lot of great information packed into those two hours.
Yeah, we squeezed a lot into 2 hours, and it's a really good event. I think a lot of people enjoy it. Just make sure to bring your helmet, bring your bike, and have a good time.
All right. Again, goodmornings.net to learn more, and Findlay Police Department Crime Prevention Officer Brian White with us this morning. Thanks very much.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
I have to imagine that this is not something that they are used to in the state of Tennessee, but authorities in the Volunteer State are on the lookout for a runaway zebra. That's right, a runaway zebra on the loose in Rutherford County, Tennessee, where the sheriff's office says apparently, the owners of said zebra just took possession of the animal on Friday, and it immediately got loose. Deputies actually had to, over the weekend, actually at one point had to close down a section of Interstate 24 as the zebra was spotted running through traffic on both sides of the highway, darting in and out of traffic. So they shut the interstate down to try and capture the zebra. They couldn't, and as of yesterday, it was reported to still be on the lam, the zebra on the lam, so to speak. I can't imagine how difficult can it be to find a zebra in Tennessee? It's not like there can't be that many of them, you wouldn't think. But so far, they've not been able to locate and capture said zebra. As for the owner, you might want to reconsider the idea of a pet zebra. Here's more animal fun. A 15-year-old in California tried to save the family dogs who had gotten stuck in an abandoned well shaft, which is an honorable thing to do, try to rescue the family pets, the family dogs. But unfortunately, the kid got himself stuck in the abandoned well shaft in the process. Emergency responders from the Nevada County Consolidated Fire Rescue there in California were called to the scene and successfully extricated the teen and the two dogs. He had descended about 15 to 20 feet into the shaft to help the pets, but was unable then to climb back out. A vertical rope rescue operation was conducted, lasting approximately an hour, resulting in all three being brought to the surface without any serious injuries, which is actually kind of amazing. If you think about it, the teen was evaluated and found unharmed. The dogs were treated for minor dehydration. The fire department emphasized the importance of avoiding unsafe structures and the prompt reporting of emergencies. So, next time, let the professionals handle it. Went in after the dogs. Didn't plan on getting stuck himself, but glad that everybody is okay. This is an unusual story out of Miami, which is why it's in the broken news, I guess. Angel Prudhomme and Tangela Park. They are workers at the Port of Miami who were arrested the other day for stealing over $50,000 worth of artwork from the port. Surveillance footage captured them removing art pieces from Terminal G at the Port of Miami and loading them into their vehicles. $50,000 worth of art. Ms. Prudhomme was seen hiding the artwork in a stairwell and stuffing valuable pieces into trash cans to avoid security cameras. Their plan failed when half of the stolen pieces were damaged during the theft and had to be abandoned. So not exactly master criminals here. The damaged artworks were recovered and the remaining pieces were found at Ms. Prudhomme's home and in her vehicle. Both suspects confessed to the theft and are now facing charges of second-degree grand theft. What were they going to do with this? I mean, it just doesn't strike me that they would have a whole lot of friends who would be interested in high-dollar artwork, you know? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to sell it online? You don't think they'll be looking for this? Yeah. I don't know. Just doesn't seem like the smartest thing to steal. But steal what is... It was a crime of opportunity, I guess. That was what they had to steal, so. This is a traffic accident that stings more than most in Whatcom County. Oh, gee whiz. I don't have the Whatcom County. Where is that? Is that it's somewhere in the Carolinas, I believe. South Carolina? South Carolina. Whatcom County, South Carolina. The sheriff's office reports. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm completely wrong. Washington. Washington? Okay. Well, get this right. This is Whatcom County, Washington, apparently. A commercial vehicle carrying a truckload of bees turned over on the highway, letting 250 million bees loose. 250 million of the winged insects on the loose. Local public works officials and a bee expert had to be called to the scene to clean up this truckload of pollinating bees. In a follow-up post on the incident on social media, the sheriff's office declared that bee recovery work was complete and that the roadway would soon be reopened. Can you imagine I mean, we have stories of things, unusual things being spilled all over the highway, but 250 million bees on the highway. Wow. Yeah, you would not want to drive through that swarm and see why they shut down the road. But again, can you imagine having to go to your boss and explain why you were late to work? Because seriously, there were 250 million bees blocking the highway. 250 million of them.
Yeah, sure.
Although that would be one of those stories that'd be too crazy to make up. That would have to be real. You couldn't make something like that up. And lastly here, the broken news this morning. A Virginia man has pleaded guilty to killing one of the country's most protected birds, William Custis. William Custis Smith admitted to using a trap and a banned substance, basically a poison, to make the bald eagles on his property sick. One of them actually died, and that is a no-no. You don't want to kill a bald eagle. Not only is it un-American, it's illegal. He pleaded guilty in a U.S. district court in Eastern Virginia last month and has been sentenced to 50 hours of community service and ordered to pay $10,000 in fines. Mr. Smith admitted to killing not only the eagle and poisoning the eagles, but nearly 20 other predatory birds on his property. He explained, this is why he killed the eagles. He explained that he is a duck hunter. He is an avid duck hunter, and the birds were killing the ducks on his property. And so he killed a bald eagle. Don't do that. That's no. Just no. There you go. Wow. I can't believe that somebody would think that would be a good thing to do. We'll just kill the bald eagles. There you go. So, most odd and unusual items in the news today. That is today's broken news report. And with that, we now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
We tell the stories of our men and women in the military and first responders each Sunday morning on WFIN. Hi, this is Ben Bueller Garcia, your host for American Warrior Radio. Our mission is to educate and inform the public not only about those who serve, but those who support them. We also share issues of importance to veterans and their families. Join us for American Warrior Radio, Sunday mornings at 6 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. It is vacation season, and a recent survey of 2,000 parents with school-age children, found, the survey did, that roughly one in five parents have allowed their child to plan an entire family vacation. The entire thing, about 20%, have allowed their kids to plan it all. And believe it or not, the majority of those parents claim that it leads to a more enjoyable experience. Now, maybe you are not ready to let the child completely take the reins in planning the family trip. But 82% of parents surveyed said that their best trips did happen when the kids at least had a say. And 86% of kids want to play a more significant role in planning family trips. So what would that look like if your kid were to plan the entire vacation? Well, for the ultimate dream trip, kids imagine something pretty epic. A 13-day journey across 6 states and 5 countries. 60% would prefer a road trip. 57% would pick a flight, and 33% would take a cruise. That's what the kids say. But not every dream requires a passport. 40% of kids would prefer to stay right here in the United States, and their top picks would include visits to Florida, California, Hawaii, New York, Alaska, and Colorado. Those are the top destinations of kids if they were planning the trip. According to the survey, 73% of parents surveyed know of a dream trip that their child would love to take, and 88% have plans to make some or all of that trip happen in the future. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool because, after all, isn't it for the kids? And mom and dad, don't your eyes just light up, make it all worthwhile when the kids, when you see the kids having the time of their lives? That is pretty cool stuff. Get an update on what's going on, what's happening in the month of June. The Findlay YMCA, Jerry McNamee is here with the lowdown, and the pool is open. The pool is open.
It's going to be consistently
a beautiful week this week. We finally get some summertime weather. As a matter of fact, coming up later this month, you have a community day at the pool.
We do have a community day. So I think it's June 21st. It's a community day. The Community Foundation here in Hancock County does a great job. They're paying for everybody to come to the pool. So if you're part of the community, you can come in. It's free admission that day. We'll have some other special surprises and some other guests there. But it's a free day at the pool, and you can come hang out and do that kind of stuff. And
you can't beat that.
No, you can't.
And by the way, speaking of the pool, can folks still buy like the season passes and that kind of thing?
Yeah, those are on sale. Okay. You'd have to go into the YMCA to purchase them now.
Okay.
But they are, if you head into our downtown branch, you can purchase them. It's a great deal. It really is. If you have a family of four or five, it's $180 for the season. So that's essentially about 10 visits, and then it's paid for itself.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
Yeah. And that is terrific family fun, to be sure, for the kids and the grownups alike. For those that don't swim, you have swim lessons.
We do. We have swim lessons. You know, history of the YMCA, not our particular one, but the YMCA, we started swim lessons 100 years ago. We were the originators of group swim lessons. So it's always near and dear to the YMCA is water safety and being able to keep kids, families safe around water, and give them those life skills of being able to swim your whole life. It's a great exercise. It's great stuff. But to get people started, we offer our traditional progressive swim lessons, and we have a new format this summer that we'll do. You can sign up for, it's 8 lessons, and it's a Monday through Thursday morning type thing out at Riverside Pool.
Okay.
So you come every day, so that repetition can get you faster and get you better and get you prepared for the summertime. So if you come in for the next 2 weeks, we'll get you, you know, we'll get you registered, we'll get you squared away, and then you can come every morning and get that taken care of. But we also have a great program. It's something we're really proud of, called the Greg Schrader Swim with a Smile Community Swim Lesson Program. That is about water safety, basic swim lessons, but a lot of focus on safety. But it is $5, whether you're a member, non-member,
okay,
open to the community. It's $5 per child. And again, we start again this morning. Our first session starts this morning at 10:30. But we go, we canceled yesterday, so this week's Tuesday through Friday, but most of the time it's Monday through Thursday morning, 10:30 to 11.
Okay.
And it's $5 for the whole cost. It's not $5 per day, anything else like that. And if you're a family that happens to be on free or reduced lunches, it's absolutely free.
Okay.
You do have to register for it because we have our ratios to abide by. But after that, we don't have anything to we're going to teach kids, and we get out there. And so we have 4 sessions of it. This is every 2 weeks we have a different session starting. So if you miss this session, you can sign up for the next one. And again, you can either go online or downtown to do it. But all those take place at Riverside Pool, and they're from 10:30 to 11 from now until the end of July.
Okay. It's so important because, you know, we talk about, you know, family fun around the pool, and, you know, it's a great summertime activity, but you have to respect the water because, especially with the kids, and sometimes they don't realize just how dangerous it can be.
That is the perfect word. And that's, you don't need to be fearful of the water, but you need to respect it.
Yeah.
And there needs to be safety around any, drowning is one of the top, unfortunately, one of the top reasons kids will pass away or die.
Yeah.
And it's completely preventable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the YMCA takes its big stand about safety around water. We have presentations going out to local groups. That if there's a group out there that wants us to come talk about water safety, if you're a child care, we have something scheduled at Blanchard Valley Center later on this summer about going out there. If they just interested about us coming out and talking about water safety and how to really be prepared and respectful around water, whether it's a pool or a pond or a river, what steps you need to take in order to make sure that everybody is safe during that. Because it is really easy to be forgetful and get really comfortable around it.
Even for those who know how to swim, that's only part of the equation.
It is.
And you make up such a good point. It's not just in the pools, so many places with ponds and creeks and streams and all of that. So very, very important there. Let's see, what else is going on? Camps. You've got camps going on this week.
We have camps every week. This week we have about 80 kids out at Riverside Park and our traditional camp. It's fantastic. But we run an opt-in system. So registration throughout the course of the summer is constantly going. So if there's vacation plans that change or if you just decided that we're going to keep our kids at home this summer and after a week, that's a bad decision.
when the I'm bored starts settling in.
The YMCA is there. And that registration goes week to week. So we can get you squared away for next week. But once again, you can register. It's a great time. We swim twice a week. We play those traditional camp games that everybody kind of played growing up. We have field trips on a weekly basis. And so sometimes it's Mozzie Museum. Sometimes it's Riverbend Park. Sometimes actually this year, out at Ghost Town, going and doing some stuff out there.
Very cool.
We got a lot of stuff planned for the summer. And it's great. We're really, really safe, and it's a chance for us just to interact, play with kids, and for kids to be, not to date us, but it would be you and I are similar to our growing up. You're going to go play in a park. You're going to get some, my two boys. I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. Both of them came home with a little bit of scrapes, a lot of dirt, some mosquito bites yesterday, and reeking of bug spray and sunscreen. And all I could think was they had a great time.
Summertime.
And they were the parents out there, they were asleep by 7:15. So we do make them really, really tired.
That's awesome. And again, all of those programs where they're talking about the swim lessons, obviously access to the pool, the day camps, those are available for everyone.
Everyone. We offer member rates and non-member rates, but if you're going to utilize the YMCA, our member rates are really good, and our memberships are really good. So if you, and not just for the summer, but if you really fall in love with swimming, we have the indoor pools.
Don't forget.
We have and then basketball and all that stuff throughout the course of the year. So it's really great for families and for our senior citizens. We have out at the East Branch, we have 10 pickleball courts out there over the course of our 5 tennis courts.
And the East Branch is reopened now.
East Branch is reopened. We had some flood damage, but we are back and ready. And it's got that fun new carpet smell, and it looks really nice again.
And then
not only that, for the fall coming up, not just looking at June, but right now for the fall, our registrations for our baseball league, which is T-ball and coach pitch. So anybody entering pre-K all the way up to entering second grade in the fall, registration's available. And that's really nice and convenient for parents. We don't meet on weekends. It's just you meet twice a week from 5:30 to 7, either Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. But no weekends, no Friday commitments. So that family vacation stuff. And then the same time, fall sports. Soccer registration's open now for our stuff in the fall.
Got to start thinking about that. Just roll right into. And it's important to highlight that, too, because a lot of families probably not thinking about fall sports, but the registration period is now open.
It is.
All the information on everything going on at the Y at the website, and we've got it linked up at our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net. And Jerry McNamee, again, from the Findlay YMCA with us this morning. Thanks very much for the update.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, which is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, the City of Findlay Parks and Recreation Department wants you to keep active, keep healthy this summer. The first of their Summer Connect events is coming up this week. Fun for the entire family. We'll get details. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.